We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The general manager of the Mets is Brody Van Wagenen on a day after the naming of their first baseman as the Rookie of the Year. So it's a celebratory time for the Mets. Brody, welcome. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. All right. Limited time, so let me run through some stuff. Number one, just harking back for a second to the whole thing with the manager. Beltran, in a nutshell, what was the best thing about Beltran that you noticed?
Well, I didn't know Carlos really before we started this process. I think I met him once over the course of his whole playing career. But from day one and all the way through the end of the process, he was the same guy. He never came across like he was selling. He never came across like he was trying to search for the answers that I wanted to hear. He was Carlos Beltran, and he maintained that throughout the whole process. And I respected it, and the authenticity, I think, will play well to our players.
Now, everyone was fascinated by the experienced candidates. Way why that didn't matter as much to you to have a guy who had experience like a Girardi or a Buck?
Well, I think experience, and this is, you know, I don't want to be cute with the answer, but, you know, experience can be defined in a bunch of different ways. And 20 years as a player, being in the clubhouses that he was in, playing for the different managers that he played for, I think Carlos has a huge, huge track record of understanding and exposure to all sorts of different talent. So I think, you know, the experience he's had as a player combined with the relationships that he has and an understanding of how players should be communicating with their manager and what their needs are on a daily basis were sort of overriding factors for why he was the right guy.
You mentioned collaboration. Explain, how does the manager fit into your view of collaboration with your other people like yourself and everybody else in the organization?
Well, I think it's an easy word to use, but, you know, the old school word is teamwork. You know, you got to be a good teammate. You got to be there pulling for the guy next to you. And I think that's all it is. I mean, I think now we have more resources and more information that we're all trying to make sense out of. We're there trying to, you know, to help players develop, sometimes developing at the major league level. You know, we had a scenario last year where we were asking players to play new positions at the big league level. So everybody's got to be working together. And if whether those are new coaching techniques or whether that's the implementation of information, you know, it's important to have people down there that that are all rowing in the same direction and trying to make sense of everything that that we have at our fingertips.
How much input does the team have, including you, into staff versus how much does Beltran have as far as having his own say as far as staff?
Well, I think similar to our manager search, I think relationships matter. I think relationships, I've said a lot since I took the job, that having, you know, having players feel comfortable, having coaches feel comfortable, having front office feel comfortable at every step along the chain there, I think it's important. So Carlos getting the chance to talk to the coaches that we had on staff before, Carlos getting a chance to talk to potential candidates for new positions, I think is important. At the end of the day, it's a matter of finding people that have the right skill sets and having the right people that he feels comfortable with so that we can all have that teamwork and collaborative atmosphere that you talk about.
What are you looking for in a pitching coach?
You know, I think it goes to the same. We need to have somebody that's a communicator, somebody that can relate to the players and can communicate the information in a way that's easily understood, and someone that hopefully can be a long-term building block to what Carlos will be as we go forward.
Do you think does your pitching coach need to have major league experience as far as coaching goes or managing, or is that not important?
The pitching coach or the bench coach?
Pitching coach.
The pitching coach, I don't think it's a scenario where we're looking for somebody that has managerial experience.
Has been around. What I mean is, been around major league teams. Does he have to have been around major league teams, or not really? Could he be a guy who comes lower in the minors, or does he have to have been around the sport on the major league level?
You know, I think the person has to have the right training ground, and sometimes that can come from, you know, a variety of different paths. But, you know, somebody would have to have some experience, at least from our vantage point, from the professional game, and have had, you know, is well versed in the, you know, the player development and as well as the ability to handle the pitcher batter confrontation.
Is Terry Collins a candidate for the bench coach?
We've been careful not to talk about who is or who isn't a candidate. I know it can be frustrating at times, but we're gonna let Carlos and our staff work together and be the right people and then make the coaching staff announcements once we have it all completed.
And how far along are you with the coaches?
Hard to say. Carlos has been on the job now, I think, 8 or 9 days. He was in the office all last week. He was working side by side with us on getting onboarded and all sorts of different things. We started having interviews both in person and over the phone, and we'll try to continue that at as fast as the pace we can, so we can get the team set and ready to go.
All right. As we look into the building of the team for this year, are there any economic limitations on you as you put the roster together?
I think we always have to be responsible. When I look at economic limitations, I'd say, we always want to be looking at what sort of projected performance can we get and what is the price point to acquire that performance. So, I'm not looking at it strictly from a payroll standpoint. I'm looking at it as, what's the acquisition cost? What's the long-term performance projection? And do those two things line up? And that'll be our focus.
Do you, obviously, bullpen's a huge key. And we all know that, especially in the modern game. There's a lot of speculation because of the team's failures with the bullpen. You're going forward with Diaz. You expect him to be a key part of your bullpen, right?
He's a crucial part. He's a key part. He's going to be on our club, and he's going to be pitching in high leverage situations. So I think that our projection system still believe in Diaz's talent, and we know that we've got a guy that's going to rebound and be an all-star type performer for us.
Is it fair to say in your configuration, and we're talking with Brody Van Wagenen, the Mets general manager, is it fair to say that he is your closer as you look at this configuration, or is that not automatic?
Well, I think as we sit here with our club right now, yeah, we expect him to be getting those outs in the ninth inning. I think that, I say that not with a qualifier, but it depends on if he's available that night, who's pitched last.
No, but I mean, he's your main guy, though. But you're not looking for you're not out shopping for a closer. You think Diaz will be your main closer, right?
Yep. I think that if we're playing opening day and Jacob DeGrom goes 8 innings and we flip the ball to somebody in the ninth inning, it'll be under Diaz.
Okay. That's fair. Listen, I felt if you bring Diaz, which we can talk about, we could argue about bringing Diaz back, but if you bring him back, I think the only way to bring him back is to give him another chance as the closer. I think that's the only thing that makes sense. So I just wanted to say that was it. When you look at this team, what do you see as things that you're looking to upgrade? Obviously bullpen is one. You can say you need a starter. You're going to be losing one out of your five. But I mean, when you look at this as far as a shopping list, do you have specific needs in your mind right now?
I think that you touched on bullpen. You touched on starting pitching. Lugo and Gesellman are flexible guys that can move to the rotation if that's.
How do you feel about Lugo? Because I like Lugo myself as a starter. How do you guys feel about Lugo? Is he a possibility as a starter?
Very much a possibility. I think both he and Gesellman have the pitch mix to be able to do it. They came up to the minor leagues as starters, and I think that both guys are capable of doing it at the big league level. And I think that both guys have an appetite to do it. So we're having their throwing programs this off season built on the expectation that they can start. And if we dial that back to put them in the bullpen and we have that flexibility to do it in spring training, it's hard to do it the other way around.
How about your everyday lineup?
I think we're pretty fortunate, and I'd say we're fortunate in the rotation as well. But when we go around the diamond, you got Ramos first, you got Pete Alonso, I'm sorry, Ramos behind the plate, Pete Alonso at first, Bobby Cano at second, Rosario at short. We've got multiple guys that can play third base, from McNeil to Lowry to J.D. Davis. We've got Conforto in right. We've got Nimmo in center. And we've got, we've got J.D. Davis. We've got Jonas Cespedes, assuming he can come back healthy. And we've got J.D. Davis, or I think I already said J.D. Davis, who can play out there.
So and Dominic Smith in the mix, too. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, Is Cespedes someone you penciling in as a player for this year?
It's hard to say. I mean, he's been out for so long, and he's missed the better part of 2 years. And so until we see him back on the field, it's impossible to predict.
Do you look at this, Brody? How do you look at this team? Your team finished strong. You went from 10 under to 10 over. You finished with 86 wins. So you need to find six or seven more wins to be comfortable in the postseason. You have a team in your division that won a championship this year. You know that. You have Buck now in Philly. Girardi now in Philly. When you look at the team, how do you view them? Do you view them as the team that finished the season? Do you view them as the team that played the ups and downs of the season? How do you view your team?
There's no question I view the team as the way we finished. I think that we believe we can contend and compete, but we're playing in the division, and frankly, we're playing in a league that's not going to stop trying. I mean, we've got fierce competition. We like our talent. We think that we'll be able to go to bat every day and go to post for the chance to win. But, you know, we're playing good teams, and I think that we'll have to continue to try to find ways to get better so that we can find consistency.
As far as do you expect to be aggressive or at least a player in free agency? I'm not talking about high ticket items. I'm talking about a player in any way in free agency.
In free agency specifically, or just period?
You know, just in free agent specifically, yes.
Yeah, you know, I think that my nature is to go into any process thinking aggressive, and if it can happen, great. If not, then you know it won't be for a lack of exploration. Specifically in the free agent market, it's hard to tell. And I think some of the needs that we have, the positions that we already have coming back, you know, don't scream obvious needs from the free agent market. But you know, we'll have to factor a lot of different things in based on different scenarios and variables that are put in front of us via trades.
What position do you pencil McNeil in at to start the season? Are you good looking at him as a guy who's going to play multiple positions, or would you like to play him at one position?
You know, I think that he'll play a lot more third base this year with, coming into the infield. I think that with Lowry there, being a switch hitter that can play third and play second, I think that Lowry will be the one that's moving around a little bit more, but I would expect McNeil to be playing a lion's share of his infield and into third base. And then depending on what happens in the outfield, he could switch out there. But I anticipate him playing a lot of third base.
And do you look at J.D. Davis as an everyday player?
I do, you know, and whether, you know, I think the everyday label is something that teams are getting away from.
I understand, but I mean, right. A guy who's going to get 450, 500, you know, 450 at bats, let's say, you know,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was a good player. I mean, he was a very good pickup this year. He turned out to be a very good hitter.
Yeah, we're excited about him. I mean, I think we liked him for a reason, but, you know, the way he came on and, you know, he didn't just hit left-handed pitching. He didn't just hit off pitches. I mean, this guy handled velocity. He handled right-handers, and he hit at City Field, which those things are not always easy to find.
Your starting catcher hit great. He was not great behind the plate, and there were a lot of unhappy pitchers. Are you solid with him as your number one next year?
We are, and I think Ramos had an evolution to his season. And I think that goes both offensively and defensively. But, you know, he gained a lot more comfortability with our pitching staff. He got more comfortable with the information that we were creating and game planning. And I think his communication back and forth between what the pitchers were trying to do and what our game plans were, you know, he was able to execute in a way that he didn't in the first half. And I think we're excited about what that could be.
All right, we're talking with Brody Van Wagenen. As we get ready to start the hot stove, let me get this so that you clarify with your fans. Right now, before you make a move, what do you think your team is right now? Do you think it's a contending team for next year before you even start to put some extra pieces together?
Well, I'm going to try to reserve the commentary that I made last year. I won't make any bold proclamations, but, you know, I do believe in our club, and I think that we're going to be a competitive team, and I think that, you know, if we went to the opening gates right now, I do think we can contend, and hopefully our team gets even stronger between now and then.
And you expect you to be aggressive in both every way to improve this team as you go into the winter months here?
We'll try to keep an open mind and not rule anything out. But I think that we like our core players. We have a group coming back from veteran players to young guys, position players to pitching. We've got a lot as a starting position. And if we can find ways to create impact, then we'll do it. And if not, then we'll just find complementary pieces to what we already have.
And is it fair to say you will fill your need for the one starter from within more than likely from outside?
That's right.
So as far as the starting pitcher, the one you'll need for the one you lose, you have four. The other one, will you most likely fill that from within?
Well, we started to talk about that as related to Lugo and Gastelman.
Right.
If we can find more value in the bullpen than we can in the rotation via trade or via free agency, then Lugo and Gastelman will fill that role. If we can do the other, if we feel like we can identify starting pitchers that fit well with us from a value standpoint, then we'll probably make Lugo and Gastelman key pieces of the bullpen again. So I think it really depends on what the value proposition for is via trade and free agency for those two talent pools.
All right, two things. Number one, we're talking with Brody Van Wagenen. What did you learn from the Nationals winning the World Series this year?
That it stings to not win a World Series as a member of the New York Mets. That's number one. Number two is I do think that it reinforces the value of having high-impact players, particularly at the starting pitcher position, and that if a team can get into the playoffs with talent, then a championship is possible. So I think we're encouraged by that.
And what did you learn from your journey through your first season as general manager?
That it's not as easy as it looks, and that winning games over the course of 27 outs is a very, very hard thing and a delicate thing to accomplish. So the marginal difference between winning and losing is incredibly small, and we have to find ways to win those margins.
Thanks very much, Brody. Appreciate it. Good luck.
All right, Mike. Congratulations on retirement.
Thank you.
That's really going to be it. We'll miss you.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll be around a little bit, but as far as the everyday stuff, you're right. So thank you very much, and good luck, and congratulations on Pete Alonso. You got a good one there. So congratulations on the Mets procuring the Rookie of the Year, which obviously you knew you were going to get, but congratulations on that.
Thank you.
All right. Brody Van Wagenen. Tomorrow we will have Brian Cashman. He will be with us as we talk Yankees, and the Yankees will shop a little bit more. See, I think with the Mets, I think with having the four pitchers they have, and I would put Lugo in the fifth spot. That's how I would do it, and I would go heavy on the bullpen. There's been talk of them going after Betances, which I think would be a good move. I'm against bringing Diaz back. I am totally against that. But I like Lugo as a starter. I think Lugo would fit very well with their other starters. They obviously have the big 2-1-2. Then they have Mats and Stroman, and they would have Lugo. I like that a lot. I'd like to see them add a very good outfielder, and I think that would work. The rest of their team is more than enough. McNeil goes to third base for me. Lowry can be the journeyman who plays for second. He'll get a lot of time for Cano at second base. Cano will play half the time. He won't play much more than that. And Cano showed you enough that he still got a live bat when he was, he was healthy the second half. He hit well. I don't worry about Cano. And you have Lowry. I can go with those two there. Play McNeil at third base for the most part. JD Davis in left. I'd get an everyday center fielder and obviously Conforto in right. That's not a bad lineup. It's a pretty good team. I don't think what they're going to get out of Cespedes. He wouldn't even commit to Cespedes. So I think that's a long shot at best. But there's your Mets. They're not going to break the bank in free agency. You know that. The Yankees, well, they might break the bank. We'll talk to their general manager tomorrow. Back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.